Good morning and Happy New Year. Happy Epiphany, too. It is officially the 12th day of Christmas. Can you believe it? It's fabulous. I'm Pastor Sarah, and it is good to be worshiping with you this first Sunday of 2019. And I want to greet any guests that we have amongst us. I met Suri, which is Kevin's daughter, and we want to give you a gift of popcorn for popping in. So you can share it with a friend. Anyone else here for the first time? Well, we're grateful to be together again after the holidays, and I want to share with you that we get to take down our holiday decorations today. So I invite you to stay after service. If you stay for just even a couple minutes, you can grab a wreath and maybe a couple ornaments, and the job will be done lickety-split. So we would appreciate your help with that. There's several announcements in the bulletin, but I want to mention two more to you. Next week, we have a special guest preacher. Doug Palmer is a delegate to the special conference General Conference in February called The Way Forward. So he will be preaching, bringing the gospel, and sharing a little bit more about the decisions that are being proposed during the General Conference. And then there will be a luncheon following the 10:30 service where we can have questions and answers. So I invite you to come and be a part of worship, but also come with your curiosity and questions for that time. And then there's a new Sunday school hour happening that occurs both at 9 o'clock and at 10:30. It is around God's creation and our environmental stewardship. Again, all of this and more is published in your bulletin. I invite you to look at it. But now I invite you to stand and greet one another in God's love.
Good morning. Our congregational introit for January is number 158. Come, Christians, join to sing. We will do verse 1 today.
Continue to look at spiritual practices. And for the coming weeks, that will be around the spiritual practice of worship. There are many ways in which we live into worship. And today's word of the day is reverence, which is a word that is sort of hard to define. It's this idea of deep respect, adoration, and expectant surprise and awe. But words for worship and reverence in general seem to be hard to capture. So this is when I go to our poets and our artists. In 1951, NBC, the broadcasting network, commissioned Amahl and the Night Visitors as the first broadcast opera. Who has ever seen or heard Amahl and the Night Visitors? I highly recommend hopping on YouTube even to hear it. It's beautiful. The composer, Gian Menotti, remembered his childhood in Italy, and they didn't celebrate Santa Claus in Italy. Instead, they lived with the three kings and enjoyed all of the gifts they brought. So as an adult, when he was commissioned to write this opera, he remembered his childhood and the three kings and the gifts that they brought, representing more than just frankincense, gold, and myrrh. These visitors gave their honor to a child who defied description, but captured their imagination's intention and heart. So today I want us to live into the poet's words, this composer's words, by sharing together the words from the opera. So I'm going to have us read four stanzas together, and then we'll continue. Have you seen a child, the color of wheat, the color of dawn? His eyes are mild, his hands are those of a king. As king he was born. Incense, myrrh, and gold we bring to his side, and the eastern star is our guide. Have you seen a child, the color of earth, the color of thorn? His eyes are sad, his hands are those of the poor was born. Incense, myrrh, and gold we bring to his side, and the eastern star is our guide. The child we seek holds the seas and the winds on his palm. The child we seek has the moon and the stars at his feet. Before him, the eagle is gentle, the lion is meek. Choirs of angels hover over his roof and sing him to sleep. He's warmed by breath. He's fed by mother who is both virgin and queen. Incense, myrrh, and gold we bring to his side, and the eastern star is our guide. In the opera, we find that Amahl's mother is listening to the kings share this news about the child, and she thinks of her own Amahl, a crippled boy, and she thinks to take a piece of gold. Well, the page sees her and immediately shouts out, "Thief! Thief!" Melchior responds this way.
Oh, good woman, you may keep the gold. The child we seek doesn't need our gold. On love alone, he will build his kingdom. His pierced hand will hold no scepter. His hallowed head will wear no crown. His might will not be built on your toil. Swifter than lightning, he will soon walk among us. He will bring us new life and receive our death. And the keys to this city belong to the poor. Let us leave, my friends.
Oh, no, says the mother. Take back your gold. For such a king I've waited all my life. And if I weren't so poor, I would send a gift of my own to such a child. When we offer our reverence, we give a gift of our own in worship. May it be true this day and always. Amen. Amen. I invite you now to stand as we sing together, We Three Kings.
You may be seated, and if all the children would come forward for their special time with Miss Larissa this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy New Year. It's all ready to go.
Hey guys, how's it going? We have a good week? Are you excited about the new year? Are you excited for school to start back this week? It's coming, right? Just a couple more days. But we've had a good break, right? We've got to celebrate Christmas. We've got to celebrate New Year's. Some of you may have gone on vacation or had people visiting you. We've had a good week, or a good couple of weeks, haven't we? So today is a big day in the church. Today, as you heard Pastor Sarah say, it's a special word. It's called Epiphany. Can I say Epiphany? Epiphany. And do you guys have any idea what Epiphany is about? The three kings. That's right. So on Epiphany, our Christmas story kind of finishes up, right? For the last few weeks, we've been talking about Mary and Joseph and shepherds and angels, and especially the baby Jesus, right? Well, today's the day that we get to celebrate these guys all coming to town to see the baby, right? We've got three of them here. They've got some gifts. They came on camels, right? So there they are. So they've been kind of hiding over in our nativity toys for a while, but today's their day to come out and play. What do you guys think? Right? So what do you guys know about the three kings? They're kind of like Santa. Why are they like Santa? Because they brought gifts. That's right. And as you heard Pastor Sarah say, in some parts of the world, they celebrate the three kings and they get gifts from them instead of Santa Claus. So that's right. They are kind of like Santa. What else do you guys know about the kings? Anything else? Well, we often say there were three of them, right? So we often say that. Do we call them anything else besides kings? Because sometimes we call them wise men, right? So we don't really know why we call them wise men or why we call them kings. We're not sure if they were actually kings. They were scientists who studied the stars, so perhaps they were just really smart. So we call them wise guys, wise men, right? When they came and saw Jesus, they knew right away that he was special. So they stopped and they bowed down and worshiped him and gave him gifts. Perhaps that's why they were wise, because they knew right away that Jesus was something pretty incredible. We don't really know, but they're part of our Christmas story, right? They finish it off, remind us to go find Jesus. So let me tell you, do you think they had a map when they went on their journey? What do you guys know about maps? You guys good at maps? You guys are? So I bet a few of you especially have learned quite a bit about maps at school, right? Maps get you from here to there. You follow the compass rows around. Tells you where to go. But you guys, you know what? I am terrible with maps. I get lost all the time. When I was learning how to drive, that was the hardest part, was I would always get lost. So guess what I have? I have my phone now. And guess what's on my phone? Google Maps. And guess what Google Maps helps me do? Not get lost and know where I am and drive. That's exactly right. So do you think the three kings had Google Maps? You think they just had a guess. How do you think they got to Jesus? How did they find him? Because they were wise and they followed the star. Exactly. They followed the star to find the baby Jesus, and they got there. Can we follow a star to find Jesus? The one on top of the Christmas tree would be a good one to follow. That's right. Do you think if we looked up in the sky right now, we could walk all the way and find Jesus? Do you think if I plugged in the word Jesus into Google Maps, I could find him? Let's see what happens if I punch in. If I say I want to go to see Jesus. Oh, it takes me to a bunch of churches. Yeah, not to the baby Jesus, though. If I really wanted to find him, I've got to do something else. Do you guys know there's maps all around you to find Jesus? Do you know that this church is a map? The Bible is a map. Pastor Sarah and Pastor Steve are maps. All of these people sitting in front of you can be maps. Me and Miss Beth and Miss Robin and all the things we do in Sunday school can be maps. Because we help you find Jesus, right? You guys come to church, and you hear about Jesus, and you read about Jesus, and you learn about Jesus, just like a map would tell you, right? Because where is Jesus, really? Is he way off in Bethlehem right now? No, where is Jesus? He's right here in our hearts, exactly. So you guys keep coming to church, follow our maps around here, and we'll get to know him pretty good, right? Nice job, you guys. Can we say a prayer? Let's bow your heads. Say, hey, God, thank you for Jesus. What an incredible Christmas present. Help us to keep looking, to keep searching, to keep learning, so that Jesus is always in our hearts. We love you, God. Thank you for loving us. Amen.
Our offering is an opportunity to be in worship. It is an act of worship as much as the king's gifts to Jesus were. So give in worship, in love, and in promise of the kingdom, even as our kings did to Jesus. Ushers. Where has the gift of life come from, O God? Where has the gift of our days, the gift of our minds and souls, the gift of our thoughts and hopes and dreams? Where have they come from? Where are the gifts we lay at your feet, O God, and offer this morning? They come from you. And so we return but a small portion, an acknowledgement of your hope in our hearts, your light in our lives, your star which we still follow. even Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. Please remain standing for singing our hymn of faith from a distant home.
You may be seated. Please join me in the scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Hear these words from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star as it's rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasured chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What we've just heard is our story. Sung about and read in the scriptures, it's our story. And we've moved to this time at Christmas, Advent, waiting and watching and preparing and then receiving. And now, Epiphany, our aha moment. There's a 40-year-old rock opera, which I'd like to lift out a piece for you. And maybe this is a memorable way for you to remember this story, our story. Okay, let's try to get the sound for that. We could just sing it. Why don't you work on that and I'll come back to it. Thank you. Okay. Go ahead and, yeah, thank you. The new year is an excellent opportunity for us to set new goals and to reach for different priorities. I'm not talking here about losing weight or cutting your losses in your 401k retirement plan, although I have to tell you that this might be good advice at this time. I'm talking about more essential things. Making the choice to live by our spiritual priorities. Making a decision to listen for God in the depths of our life daily, and making a promise to bring our best selves to this new year and into God's presence. May our epiphany, our aha moments this year be transformational, be enriching for us. May we never come to our opportunities with God empty-handed. May we more fully live these days as we've been given them. They are a gift. An epiphany is an aha moment, an instant of awareness which changes one's perspective forever. Over the years, I've come to realize that these epiphany moments, these moments of recognition inside of ourselves that we make, these discoveries that we make, may be our only opportunities to really change who we are and how we meet the world. Outside opinions notwithstanding, arguments for this point of view or another really seem quite extraneous when compared to meeting ourselves, meeting God, and being transformed from the inside out. Epiphany in the church year, just after Christmas, is when we hope that something of God will be revealed to us in our lives and we'll be able to act on it. I meant to ask you, what did you do with that week between Christmas and New Year's? What are some of the things that you did? Anybody? You ate. Oh, skied, I'm sorry. I guess I hear what I want to hear. What did you do with that week between Christmas and New Year's? Traveled, went to Iowa, saw family, I heard. What did you do? We went to Wyoming and saw our new granddaughter. Would you put that slide up? Thank you. Yolanda and Grandpa and Grandma are so proud. A new child always invites a change in perspective, and in our son's household, this new daughter means with three that they move from man to man to zone defense. It means that they are now five people in their family, and it takes an extra 10 minutes to get into the car to go do anything. It means a transformation in perspective because it's a baby girl. They have boys, you see. My son and I are on a first tease name basis. We tease each other pretty hard, and I think he goes along with that pretty well and is so kind. I asked him if he realized, took him aside, that the first letter each of his children's names actually spell something. Wesley Henry Yolanda. Wesley Henry Yolanda. W-H-Y. And he put his hand in his head and he said, "Oh God, Dad, I didn't realize it." I told him it was okay as long as the next three were Nathan, Oscar, and Thomas. We'd be just fine. Why not? A change in perspective. A change in understanding. A sudden recognition of something you hadn't thought of before that might lead us into new life. How do you think the arrival of these royal emissaries, the Magi from a distant land, shook up Mary and Joe's little town of Bethlehem? How might it have transformed Mary's expectations for her little guy? So dependent, so small, so gentle. Would it have reminded her of all the things that have been said about Jesus and all the things that might be happening in the future? It was also an epiphany of the Lord's role for all of us in humanity. The passage in Matthew today tells of wise men from the east traveling to bring gifts of what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, why didn't they just bring a ham, right? No. Gold, a symbol of kingship on earth. Frankincense, a symbol of deity. And myrrh, an embalming oil symbolizing death. Gifts fit for a king. And yet in this regard, the epiphany is not the Magi's. They already seem to know who Jesus is. The epiphany is ours. The realization, the aha moment is for the rest of us, struggling to keep up with what it means that the King of the universe has come to live among us. The author of life, the King of glory, has come to pitch his tent right in the middle of our situations. We're the ones with an epiphany on our hands. And it is disorienting. It is unwieldy. It is maybe a bit frightening to think that we're the ones upon which recognizing our aha moments matters, pivots, and turns. The thing that changes our perspective changes our lives. The thing that changes our perspective changes our very lives. And we might be forgiven for resisting that change because it can be scary. Since Christmas and the new year, precious little may have changed for you. Truly out in the world, not much has changed. We still have the volatility in the markets. We still have the harshness of our politics. We still have the violence in the world. Very little has changed, really. And perhaps in us, very little has changed as well. Having met our King on Christmas Eve, we stand in the presence of our epiphany moments to make new choices and to grow in new directions. More than the balance due on our charge cards and perhaps a secret wish kindled in our hearts, there's still time to savor life before our routines resume in earnest again on Monday morning. We, let's face it, are the ones with an epiphany on our hands. And we can choose to skip over our aha moments, let them pass by as so many have in the past, or to claim something special in this one. I once met a woman in the hospital. She'd just been diagnosed with terminal cancer. Her family and a friend were gathering around her. And she was upset, of course. She was crying. And I was come on behalf of the church to offer care, sympathy, support. Her friend reached over and touched her shoulder and tried to comfort her. And she said, no, no, you don't understand. I'm not crying because I'm dying. I'm crying because I've never lived. That's the challenge of our epiphany moment today. That's our challenge in our aha of the new year. Not that I'm dying, but have I really lived? What are the old ways that are getting in your way this epiphany? The old ways of living that cause us to squander our time in seeking the approval of other people rather than God. In the words of our closing hymn, we would see Jesus, but the old ways keep getting in our way. We would follow him, but I'm so used to doing what I've always done. Our compulsivities, our sorrows overwhelm. What are the practices and perspectives which need to change in order for us to really live our lives to the glory of God? That's the question of Epiphany. What aha moments will you honor with your purposeful spiritual values and living? And you all have them, as I do. We are called to make a deep decision to listen for God in our daily lives, to be transformed by reverence, reflection, and choice making as a result. Now, you may know about me, I'm not so much about telling people their shortcomings. Chances are you already know what your shortcomings are. I'm not one to tell people what you need to do. One conversation, heartfelt and true with God, will surely do you more good than 100 pastoral proclamations about this, that, or the other thing. Because we know in ourselves far better than anyone else the countless and perfidious ways we shortchange God. I know it. I'm assuming you do too. In our relationships and in our days, how do we shortchange God? What are those things that keep us from experiencing God's grace? That's what we want to pay attention to today as we look to the new year. So that our aha moments can also become ah moments. When we can see Jesus, our guide and stay, we will begin to grasp our new realities, our new priorities, our changed lives. No matter whether other people see it or not, the only person that matters in this equation is you. We are called to bring the best that we can for ourselves and for our God in the new year. We are called to bring our very best selves forward and not come empty-handed before our opportunities. I like to tell the story about Pete and Larry. You may have heard this story before. Pete and Larry are friends. They hadn't seen each other for a while. They caught up on Facebook probably, right? Or whatever the cool kids are using today. And they decided they had to meet. So they met together and they talked for a long time, filling in the gaps of those years between when they had first met each other and when they had left off. Finally, Pete invited Larry over to his house. I have a beautiful wife and 3 children. Our house is an apartment. I want you to come and visit us. Great, he says, where do you live? Here's the address. He wrote it out. Pete wrote it out for Larry. And there's plenty of parking behind the apartment, he said. Park and come around the front door. Kick open with your foot. Go to the elevator and press the button with your left elbow and then enter. And when you get to the 6th floor, go down the hall and you find my name on the door and ring the doorbell with your right elbow. And Larry says, well, great, I look forward to doing that. But tell me, what's all this business with kicking up the front door and then pressing the elevator button with my left arm and then my right elbow? And what's all that about? He says, well, surely you're not going to come empty-handed. Unfortunately, we often arrive at our epiphany moments empty-handed, flat-footed, unprepared. Wise men from the east brought gifts to our Lord. They brought gifts fit for a king. What do we bring? What do we bring to our aha moments? We want Christmas to matter to us, that God has come to earth in Jesus Christ, and yet there are all kinds of distractions that have kept us from fulfilling our spiritual potentials. There are all kinds of reasons why we've glided and glossed past our aha moments and went on about our routines as if that's what's really important. Yet, we also understand that life indeed is a gift from God. It mustn't be squandered. It mustn't be wasted. And we shall never pass this way again. So today, friends, we seek to live out our lives as a blessing, a gift, an epiphany which changes our perspective and our choices forever. Today, let us be aware of God's goodness. Let us be aware of God's grace and the epiphany of love and hope which Jesus brings us by, one, making a choice to live into our spiritual priorities. You can define them. You're an adult. You have that power. You have the technology. Two, making a decision to listen for God in our daily lives. And three, making the promise to bring your best self into this new year with God. Any chance we have that video? Classic rock and roll. Oh, it's on YouTube. I'll share it with you later. It tells the story. There you go.
Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see. He's just a poor boy, foretold by prophecy. Because the wise men come, wise men go, angels high, shepherds low. This is how God's love shows. It's a wondrous story to me. To me. Mary just got the word. The angel did appear, but he told her not to fear. Mary, now it's just begun. Your son is gonna wash our sins away. Mary, ooh, the God who reigns on high has sent his son through you to die.
To die, oh Jesus.
we can't be inspired by Queen, I just don't think it can be done. Thank you for letting me share that with you. We come to that time, that's a story which now will be memorable, will now be memorable for the rest of the week, right? And this is our story that we recount and remember and live by each and every day. Christ our Lord invites everyone who loves him to earnestly repent of our sin and to seek to live in peace with one another. Let's offer our confessions in silence. Christ died while we were still sinners. And so God's love is for us and is proven this way. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We lift up our hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord. It's a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give you thanks and praise. We acknowledge Jesus, your anointed one, and are sustained in our journey of faith by your love and his example. We travel a path of discovery and gratitude, which is made by Mary and Joseph and mirrored in the gifts of the Magi. We acknowledge and claim our aha moments on our journey of faith and begin this new year promising to follow your Son ever more closely. In manifest love and action this new year, we give thanks for faith-filled seekers, bold followers and devoted disciples, all of whom who seek your face, O divine creator. Through it all, we promise to build our lives for your sight, sign, and sovereignty. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy.
God, your Son, Jesus Christ's coming was predicted by prophets, sought after by magi, and is acknowledged by believers everywhere to this day. In this new year, we acknowledge the one who came into the world to show us the way to your love. Jesus, the model for our lives, lived to the very top. He is our example of forgiveness, of hope, love manifest in the flesh and poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. By the power of the Holy Spirit in him and with him and through him, we are made one, and his sacrifice brings forth our redemption and renewal. Therefore, we remember that on the night that he was betrayed, he gave himself up for us, took bread, broke it, giving thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you, O God, again. Gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, Lord, and on these gifts of bread and cup, and make them be for us the consecrated body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the consecrated body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Make this time a balm, a cleansing, an encouragement of hope through the Holy Spirit, embraced in God's precious love, the way of the heart for all. Make us your Epiphany people, traveling by the light of your guiding star, ready to go and tell the glorious news of love come down, acknowledging and manifesting our Emmanuel, God with us. All glory and honor is yours, Almighty God, now and forevermore.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
As we come as a community and before God, we lift up all the prayers that are on our hearts and minds. We lift up those who have great celebrations and joys and those who need healing and comfort. And I especially lift up Mary Findlay, wife of former Walter Findlay, who is the former chaplain of the Wesley Chapel. I know he was a dear friend of many of those people, of many of you in this congregation. And his services will be next Saturday at First Church in Boulder at 2:00. Information is in your bulletin. But for this family, for all families, for our dear ones everywhere, we pray. And we pray together as God taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'll invite those who are helping with communion to come forward. We have healing prayers offered, and they will be on this side. You can speak with Carol, who is a chaplain and deacon, and have your prayers known. You're also welcome to kneel where you can find a spot if that is something you'd like to do. Gluten-free elements will be available to you on this side of the sanctuary. Excuse me, on the choir side of the sanctuary. And we have a way of doing communion where you take a piece of bread and you dip it into the cup. So by your ushers, by your usher's instruction, please come and taste and know that God is good.
The cup of blessing.
Thank you, Margaret.
The gift of the Father's unfailing grace for you and I. What could be more valuable? What could cause our hearts more to sing? We would see Jesus. Heavenly Father, help us this day to turn our aha moments into ah moments, to sing by whatever means possible the grace of Christ in the new year, and to celebrate that, live our lives to the very top. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please stand with me as we sing.
May the love and promise of Epiphany be ours this day, and may we go from this place committed to living the dream of aha, recognizing our Epiphany moments and making our choices accordingly. In the love of God, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.